Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning. It is time to get up with LeBron and the Lakers. Minute management out the window as the King and KD turn back the clock. Meanwhile, it is Dame time in Milwaukee. A performance you have to see to believe. The Bucks put the 76ers and the rest of the East on notice. Plus, it was must-win for Josh Allen and the Bills as the Bucks played a wild one in Buffalo. It's a Thursday night game that had a little bit of everything. Welcome into Get Up. That's right.
Okay, Dan.
LeBron James.
Dan Graziano in for Greeny. Look at all these people we got here. I got Mike Tannenbaum and Brooke Pryor to talk football. I got Bart Scott to talk about whatever's in his head today. I got Jay Williams here to talk about the NBA. And Alan Hahn is on the way. Nobody told him we had traffic in New York. We start in the NBA with our matchup of the night. It's the Lakers hosting the Suns. First matchup between Kevin Durant and LeBron James since Christmas Day 2018.
Ooh, look at this.
Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, they're not going to play for the Suns. It's been a long season already. About halfway through the second, Lakers down by two. Good Lakers ball movement. It's going to lead to a wide open three by Anthony Davis, Jay.
And you love this, Dan. You love the fact that AD in the first possession of the game was aggressive, attacking the rim, and also knocking down a three. That's what he didn't do in game one of the season.
See LeBron throwing it down there on the Lakers' next possession. Under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter now. Suns down by two. Durant inbounds the ball. Gets it back, pulls up, nails that mid-range jumper. He had 15 in the first half. 35 seconds left in the third. Now Suns up by eight. Durant's going to pull up and hit this off-balance jumper in traffic.
You know what you love about KD? He gets to his spots whenever he wants. He's never rushed. He takes his time. He's poised. He always shoots over the top.
Yeah.
The ability of being a seven-footer.
Unbelievable player, still sizzling at this point in his career. Early in the fourth, Suns up by two. Durant's going to get the ball, and he's going to bury the three. That puts the Suns up by five. Little over 4 minutes to go in the fourth now. Lakers down by three. Davis gets the pass, turns and gets it to go, plus the foul. AD with a big game, 30 points, 12 rebounds. That would tie it at 87 after the free throw. Then still tied at 87. LeBron's going to split the defense here and lay it up and in. LeBron looking spry. About a minute 30 left. Suns down two. Durant on the break. He's going to get this layup to go.
And one.
Yeah.
Lay me.
All right. He would miss the free throw, though. Game still tied.
That's what we say in basketball. Don't give me that look out.
Is that what you say in basketball? Yeah. By the way, Durant passed Hakeem Olajuwon on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Moved into 12th place in this one. Here's LeBron driving and legging in. Lakers up by two. Then 41 seconds left. Same score. Lakers win. Here's LeBron talking about playing KD.
We don't have me. Matchups left. Not sure how many we have left, but so you don't ever want to take it for granted when you're out there with such a great player, one of the, the best that ever played this game. So it's always a treat, and it's fun.
Lakers trailed by 12 points entering the fourth quarter. Last night matched their third largest comeback entering the fourth with LeBron James. He became the second player to play an entire fourth quarter in his 21st season or later, joining, of course, as anyone would guess, Vince Carter, who's the answer to all those questions about playing that late into your career. As I mentioned, Alan Hahn joins us. Thanks for coming.
What's up, Alan?
Show starts at 8 today.
Anyway, looks a little dry this morning.
A little bit of traffic. Thanks for noticing that, and also for pointing that out to everybody. I'll get that taken care of.
I mean, who could have imagined traffic on the LIE, honestly?
Or anywhere else in New York, right? We're fixing things all the time. Nothing ever actually gets fixed. But
hey, Jay, what was your single biggest takeaway from the Lakers' win last night?
That the Lakers needed LeBron James to play every minute in the fourth quarter for them to beat a team without Devin Booker and without Bradley Beal playing. Like, just think about that for a second. It's a great win because it's a matchup between KD and LeBron James. But please let me add another caveat, Alan Hahn. So last night, Suns players other than Kevin Durant in the fourth quarter were 1 of 9 from the field.
That's not good.
1 of 9 from the field. So when KD has 39 points And I'm watching LeBron James, AD carrying the torch throughout the course of the game, LeBron James needing to close the game in the fourth.
Don't say that.
Just put that into context of where the Lakers are in the overall scheme of the Western Conference. They're a good team. They're not a great team. That's who they are. You still feel like they need a boost. And I know it's game two of the season, but that first line I just said, without Devin Booker and without Bradley Beal, LeBron James had to play every minute in the fourth to get this win.
Yeah, and they're going to need him to do that. This whole idea of him playing 29 minutes a night, I guess you don't want to win, because the only way you're going to win is if he plays more than 29 minutes in a night. When they play against mid-teams, when they play against mid-centers, when they play against, then you'll get Anthony Davis, and he'll be able to give you what he can once in a while. But you talk about him carrying the torch. There's no torch. There's no carrying. It's not. We've got to stop asking him or expecting him to do it. He's not that guy. So LeBron is still the guy. He's the one that's going to have to do it. And at his at this point of his career, we all know, because we saw it last year in the playoffs, the battery drained and he could never recharge. And that same thing's going to happen this year, which is why the fate of the Lakers is already in front of us. They're going to be a good team, but they're not a great team.
Yes.
And that's not on LeBron. That is on Anthony Davis, and it's on the rest of the roster, which is, again, very competitive, but that's it. And I'll tell you what he said there, what we heard him say with Kevin Durant about how we don't have a lot of these matchups next, you know what the whole league's saying? No! We don't want this! Because what's next after this? These are Titans that we get to see. We actually don't get to see them battle a lot against each other. It's the first time they've faced each other in regular season in a long time. We don't get to see these guys. But after them, who is it? So, no, please don't go away yet, LeBron.
They're not going anywhere.
We can't
anywhere.
Expect them to be
They're
a
not going anywhere.
Team.
But LeBron James right now, at this stage of his career for the Lakers, he's Mariano Rivera. Like, that's who he is. You're calling him to close
and
games out down the step.
Yep.
And the difference between AD and a guy like Jokic, and this is the issue with the Lakers. You know, when you look at Jokic and Jamal Murray, you have multiple facilitators. You have people that can read the floor, make plays, make the game easier for other people. AD is great defensively, and he's a scorer, but he doesn't make other people better as a facilitator, and they lack that. So it puts more pressure on LeBron James to create things in the fourth quarter, which makes them more one-dimensional.
Feels like we're having the same kind of conversation about the Lakers we were having at the end of last season.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what is new. You want to know something that is new in the NBA? Damian Lillard is our debut of the night for the Milwaukee Bucks. How about this? Making his debut for the Bucks against the 76ers early in the first. Bucks down by two.
Hey, that looks weird.
He looks weird in green, doesn't he?
I mean, the zero is still the zero, but
it just works, though. It doesn't matter if it's Pacific Standard Time or Central Standard Time. It's always Dame time.
Sure, what? Look at that three plus the foul. He would complete that four-point play. Later in the second, now Bucks up by eight.
Awesome.
Lillard's going to hit this short shot over Embiid.
He was getting that all night.
By the way, like, good luck to Joel Embiid or anybody guarding any PNR action with Dame Lillard.
This team?
Yeah. Good luck.
Fourth quarter now, 76ers only down five. Here's Kelly Oubre. He's going to drive and hit this acrobatic shot, get fouled.
Oubre does.
Got a kick out of it.
And I'd say he does that a lot, too, a little bit of the posing. But I thought the Sixers battled, scrappy, played well. This was a really good Nick Nurse debut.
Yeah, well, I think they have high expectations with Nurse, but higher expectations with Milwaukee with Lillard. Here we go.
Get off me.
Great
Giannis
screen.
Coast to coast.
Lay him.
That put the Bucks up by three. Under 3 minutes left now, they're up by six. Here's Lillard again. He's going to drive and lay it in.
And one.
And one. He would hit that free throw. Bucks up by nine. Next, Sixers possession. Same score. Here's Embiid kicking it out to Maxey for the long three.
Hey, man.
James Harden not being there, this is going to be an explosive type of year for Tyrese Maxey.
We are
going to
talk some more about James Harden later in the show. That's Embiid from mid-range. He had 24. Maxey had 31. Next, Bucks possession. Here's.
That's tough.
What are you going to do about this? Bucks hold on to win 118-117. Lillard had 39 points. Giannis had 23-13. Here's what they had to say about it.
Playing with vets and, you know, guys that see the game and recognize things that I would recognize and me not having to be the one responsible for it was the first thing I noticed, you know, right away. Like, man, this is going to help me be stronger for complete games, you know, instead of maybe wearing down sometimes because I can kind of, I don't want to say relax, but I don't have to be so out front all the time.
Kind of scary, no? I mean, are they obviously the team to beat in the East?
Okay, my biggest takeaway from this game, in one game, Giannis and Dame are more compatible and have less redundancy than the 7-year career of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
So, oh, my goodness.
No, that
more compatible and less redundancy than the 7-year career of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They play off each other extremely well. The pieces work. Actually, you know what? You don't have to build a wall against Giannis anymore because he's not bringing the ball up the court. Now it's Dame. Now you have Giannis who's going to get another 7 or 8 points on the wing who can just put his head down and attack. You have Brook Lopez who's trailing. It opens up the offense way more. And by the way, these two are going to have a lot of field goal attempts. They should. They work well together. And by the way, we'll work on their defense. There are things that they need to get better at. But still, what you saw on the court last night, it fits like Jokic and Murray. It fits like LeBron and AD. It works, Alan.
I like the Jokic-Murray comparison a lot better because it's the inside-outside kind of attack, right? And that's something that, for Giannis, he doesn't have to be the closer. Middleton doesn't have to be the closer. Chris Middleton can now just be Chris Middleton, which, I mean, we've kind of tried to make him more than he is.
He used to be 50-49.
He's a good player, but, I mean, you're looking at a guy now with Dame Lillard that, as he said, he can, like, during games, not take off, but you know what I mean? Like, all right, Giannis has got this for a while, and he's never really had that in Portland. And also, what I loved was, although they started together, they staggered them. I thought Adrian Griffin did a great job early on letting Dame Lillard get out on the floor by himself without Giannis so that, all right, let me make this comfortable where I can dominate the ball and not feel like, all right, this is Giannis's house. I got to defer to him. Didn't do any of that. And he was getting this one play, I think was showing it right there. Every single time they called that screen, he got into the paint, got to the free throw line 17 times, drawing fouls, and then he saved it for later in the game when they needed to close it. Giannis has his closer, and Dame Lillard has his second star who can dominate games so he doesn't have to for 48 minutes.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to call GA a second star.
Well, no. You know what I mean by a second. I mean, another star.
Another different to than second.
I mean, I'm
star.
Sorry. There are levels of stars.
Well, no, I'm just, it's similar.
Jay, it's two stars. He's never had two. We love CJ McCollum.
Agreed. But they're on the same
CJ
level.
CJ was never a star.
They're on the same level. I think Giannis is the most dominant player in the
so
game.
So another
right?
star.
So this is
a
like a
co-star?
Agreed. Co-star. It's like a skinny.
This guy's on me about Graham.
No, I just want to make sure.
I sat in New York traffic.
The internet
you're on me
take,
about Graham.
Sometimes the internet will take second star to like,
you know, a lot
second,
of frustration.
I just want to clarify. That's all. He's a skinny Shaq. So if you have a skinny Shaq with a guard who has a Kobe-like mentality to dominate you, this is why I trust Milwaukee more than Boston.
I do too.
You look at leadership. There's sometimes you need leaders. And Alan, we've had situations where you reach across the aisle and say, yo, get your head out of your ass.
Yep.
It's time for us to go.
Yep.
Play now. And that's my biggest question around Boston. Like, who are their best players also going to be their best leaders?
We will have more time on that and a lot more time to talk about the biggest question surrounding the 76ers, which we didn't even get to in that later in the show. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little football. We had some wild swings in Buffalo Thursday night. Anybody get with that?
Hair gel, too.
Please. Alan's going to put some stuff in his hair. It's a must-win game. Did Josh Allen silence the doubters? Plus, with the trade deadline looming, Jerry said Dallas could be dealing. He said they also might not. We'll give you the one trade that could change everything for Dak and the Cowboys as Get Up rolls on. Allen goes and gets a breath.
Why not?
I hear it's better about this.
Not at all.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Get Up is brought to you by Jameson. Widen the circle. Taste responsibly. Thursday night football last night, kicking off week 8. Game of the night, Bills hosting the Bucks in Buffalo, New York. There they go, running out. The crowd's excited. Josh Allen is fired up. Early second quarter, Bills lead 3-0. Second and 12 at the Tampa Bay 13. Allen's going to just, he's just going to take it himself, Bart.
No? Your eyes on your luggage.
All right then. Under 8 minutes left in the second quarter. Bills lead 10-3. First and 10 at the Buffalo 25. Deflection. Antoine Winfield deflected it. William Golston with the interception.
Four straight games.
That's right. Chris Canty with an interception for Allen, tied for the longest streak of his career. Bucks are going to cash this in with a 3-yard touchdown pass. Baker Mayfield to Chris Godwin. That tied the game at 10 apiece. Next, Bills possession, 3rd and 12 at the Tampa Bay 22. Allen to the rookie, Dalton Kincaid. He's going to take it in for his first career touchdown. Third quarter now, same score. Bills 2nd and goal at the Tampa Bay 4. I promise. Allen looking for Gabe Davis in the back of the end zone. Boy, he has some time to find him.
How does he get that wide open, though? There is literally nobody around Gabe Davis on that one.
Still almost threw it through the back wall there. Late fourth quarter, same score. Bucks have a 4th and 8 at the Buffalo 39. Mayfield, he's going to get sacked by Jordan Phillips. But, guys, Jordan Phillips made a mistake here. He used the face mask.
Come on, Jordan.
He looks like Tiny Zeus Lester. He looks like Tiny Zeus Lester, no holds barred.
That is against the rules, and it keeps the drive alive for the Bucks. So just under 3 minutes to go. Bucks have a 4th and 10 at the Buffalo 24. Mayfield, it banked off of Christian Benford and into Mike Evans' hands. What an interesting break for Mike Evans. Got the touchdown. Bucks are going to go for 2, and they figure that worked once. Let's try it again. See if we can doink it off of one guy into another guy's hands. Why not? There it is.
And that's why they say it's better to be lucky than good, Groz. Better to be lucky than good.
Not a break. It was a plan. That put the Bucks down 6. They get one more chance.
This is
4 seconds left. Look at this. Hail Mary.
I don't understand how somebody gets so open on a Hail Mary.
Cover Chris Godwin?
He's wide open on a Hail Mary.
See it in time. Bills hold on to win 24-18.
Oh, boy.
Josh Allen, 31 for 40 with 324 yards, a couple touchdowns, interception. Also, I also hurt his shoulder in the game, stayed in and finished it, so something worth watching. So Chris Canty joining us from his radio show. Are you buying Josh Allen and the Bills as AFC contenders after this?
Hell no. They're pretenders. Like, I'm not buying those guys. Wow. I mean, listen, even though they had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, they left the door open for the Tampa Bay Bucks to get back in it. That game should not have come down to a Hail Mary, which Tampa should have executed successfully, might I add. Baker Mayfield had all day to throw it up there, and Chris Godwin, because 2 Bills defenders fell down, was wide open in the end zone. He just didn't look up to track the ball. There was every opportunity for the Bucks to win that game, and the only reason they had said opportunities is because the Bills left the door open. When you look at the 5 plays, the handful of plays that could be the difference in the game, you go to the 4th and goal early on in that game. Why aren't we going with the brotherly shove or the tush push? You used it on the next drive to sustain that drive. If you'll use the QB sneak in the field, why won't you use it on 4th and 1 at the goal line? Makes no sense. The second quarter pick from Josh Allen, I mean, we might as well put that on a loop, because it seems like every week we're looking at plays that Josh Allen makes that turns into turnovers for the other team that leads directly to points. That shouldn't happen. The 3rd and 2 in the fourth quarter, when you got an opportunity to ice it, you didn't. You handed the ball to Latavius Murray in a situation where you probably would be better served with a quarterback design run. And it's not like you didn't have any of those. You used the QB draw on the first drive you had. So why not use your 6'5", 250-pound quarterback as a guy in a design quarterback run where you have the numbers in the run game and it's advantageous for you? And then, of course, the face mask by Jordan Phillips that extends the drive and allows Tampa to pull within one score. Those are the things that happen that just shouldn't happen, and I don't understand why we continue to see it. It's Josh Allen, it's the coaching staff, Sean McDermott, and Ken Dorsey, and that's why I can't have the belief in this team as a contender.
At least they won, right? They had a tough loss to the Patriots 4 days earlier. They had a tough win against the Giants the week before. Something about them doesn't look right, though, right, Brooke?
Something about them, I think, on defense doesn't look right. To me, is the biggest issue that they couldn't get off the field, making those penalties. They couldn't get off the field, allowed the Bucs back in it late in the game. I watched the first half, though, and I felt a lot better about the Bucs offense, or about the Bills offense, not so much the Bucs offense. But to me, I look at the Bills. I like what they were doing, no huddle. I like seeing Josh Allen run. Obviously, he has still got to get better at getting out of bounds or sliding, but at this point in his career, are we really going to expect to see him come out and do something better? But I don't think that they silenced the critics, but they didn't get louder to me, although this was, I don't know if this was preaching or an attorney arguing his case, but either way, I might be a little less convinced than I was an hour ago.
There were five specific plays. Like, he wanted you to know. Like, he was not. Bart, what did you think of Buffalo last night?
I tell you what, Chris said it with his chest, man, and to echo what he was saying, I don't think they are true contenders. I think when you lose Milano, you lose Davis White, it changes the way in which they want to play. They can't play man-to-man coverage. They have to play zone. I think we overstate the fact that Leslie Frazier isn't there because they had a certain type of chemistry, a certain type of style of play. And when you look at it, what they have coming, you know, in the near future, Cincinnati, they have the Jets again, Philly, KC, Dallas, Chargers. Those are all games that they can lose. They're a wounded duck, and I think everybody knows it. And I think they're going to struggle to get to the finish line. And I don't know if Josh Allen, with the style of play and him continuing to play recklessly and them using him as the primary runner at times, is going to last the entire season. Sean McDermott has seen this movie before. We talk about, oh, he came close, only second to Cam Newton. Well, Cam Newton was like a supernova. It was beautiful while it lasted, but it didn't last well. I don't know if the battle of attrition, every time you get guys coming here that think they're Superman, you heard Richardson, a rookie, saying he's an alien. Well, they guess what? They got Ghostbusters out here in the NFL. He's going to learn that he better start protecting himself because guys are going to start dumping him on his head no matter how soft the league is. It ain't that soft.
Ghostbusters was Ghost. Aliens was Men in Black.
Okay, Independence Day, damn it.
I'm just saying. Mike T, Allen did get hurt in this game. Like, what, he stayed in, but yeah. Not concerned?
Yeah, that is a big concern. Of all the things we talked about, I think they could solve their offense from a standpoint of Gabe Davis, much better last night. Dalton Kincaid's first touchdown. But that AC joint, have a lot of experience with that. There were some times in the game, guys, where he wasn't even high-fiving his teammates. And after the adrenaline wears off and probably some other medicine, I'm sure today he's really sore. And if I'm a Bills fan today, that's my biggest concern, is the health of that AC joint on his throwing shoulder.
The whole league, no, we're going to sauce that up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to make sure we're going to armbar that one. We're going to cross-face chicken wing them on.
But, you know, there is one thing I want to point out with the Buffalo Bills offense. As Brooke mentioned, it was more up-tempo. Josh Allen had the fastest average snap to throw time of any game he's ever played with in his NFL career. It's clear to me that Ken Dorsey, their offensive coordinator, is trying to eliminate the post-snap thinking for Josh. Up-tempo offense standardizes the defense, gives you more vanilla looks. You're doing more pre-snap thinking than post-snap thinking. Hit your back foot, get the ball out on time. They are acknowledging that the turnovers from Josh continues to be a problem. They're trying to eliminate the thinking post-snap from Josh Allen. The one thing I will say about this Buffalo Bills team, though, is that this is a team right now that's behind the Miami Dolphins in the standings. This is a team that's 1-3 on the road as opposed to 4-0 at home. I don't count the London game. That's a road game. So it's a situation right now for the Buffalo Bills that if this team can't find a way to close the gap on Miami and win the division, then we got to see whether or not we trust them to go on the road as a wild card team in the AFC. But I don't know how you could say that based on what they showed.
And the window was closed for them.
We got more coming on this. I got to get it to break. This has been fun, but I got to get it to break.
Buffalo's
got a week and a half off till they play at Cincinnati, so we'll see what they got there. We come back. We got some big Dallas decisions to talk about. Does Jerry Jones need to get Dak or his defense some help before next week's trade deadline? You will find out next on Get Up.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on Get Up, our next stop is Los Angeles, where Anthony Davis bounced back. After being held scoreless in the second half of the Lakers season opener, he had 19 points and 7 rebounds after halftime in Thursday's comeback win over the Suns. After the game, here was LeBron speaking directly to Alan Hahn.
We don't give a shit about criticism about AD. We don't care. Nothing bothers us. Nothing. AD doesn't care. I don't know if guys have figured that out. AD does not care. He's not on social media, so he doesn't see none of the crap. He rarely talks unless it's us. So we don't give a shit about it, and he definitely doesn't. He's going out and do his job, and we're happy to have AD.
All of that said, it wasn't AD that closed the game for the Lakers. You, Jay Williams, said LeBron was Mariano Rivera, the closer for them. Tell us what you meant by that.
Well, the big issue for the Phoenix Suns is not having DeAndre Ayton anymore. Mm-hmm. You have Nurkic, who's going to be involved in a ton of P&R action, pick and roll action, right? Down the stretch, well, just in case there are people at home who don't know what P&R means, okay? Down the stretch, you saw LeBron James, who is a savant at this game, attack that matchup each and every time. Nurkic has very slow feet. And most of the time, Nurkic was standing up defensively towards the end of the shot clock. So for LeBron James, you can turn the corner, you can settle for a shot, but he just found the right plays to make down the stretch, and Phoenix had no answer for him defensively.
Can they count on 38-year-old LeBron James to play like that every night?
They have to. I mean, that's
no choice.
What it's going to be.
But can they? Like, will it work?
It's going to have to work in ways that they did talk about playing him 29 minutes a game, whatever it is, right?
Right, at 35.
There's
going
to also be, as much as we're trying to eliminate load management, there's going to have to be some load managing with LeBron James in certain situations, right? I don't think he cares about stats. I think you're going to see a lot of times he's going to play in games where the minutes are going to be low because they don't need him to play. But he is the catalyst. That's what he's been his whole career.
Sure.
Everything revolves around him. And while he was speaking like a dad, by the way, I loved what he did there when he was sticking up for AD and using a lot of words you can't use on television, but use them anyway. Because he said, we don't care what people say about Anthony Davis, but we're still going to say it. There's no torch to be passed. LeBron has the torch. It's stuck in his hands, and you can't take it from him because there's no one like him. So they're going to have to figure out how to do it, but do it while there's still gas in the tank when we get to April.
Austin Reeves, you got your contract.
Yeah.
You deserved it. It's time. Like, that's why you got paid.
Wait. We're going to, because of the contract, he has to step up and live up to the contract?
Austin Reeves was on a trajectory to be a special player. He's still going to be a special player. Team USA, there were times where he dominated games along with Anthony Edwards. He has to become that player. Look, in order for the Lakers Let me finish. In order for the Lakers to go next level, LeBron James can do it down in stretches,
yes,
right? At
yes.
38 years old. You have AD, who sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not, but can have dominant performances. There's a reason why you paid Austin Reeves. There's a reason why you got Gabe Vincent. You need guys who have had these roles to step into different roles.
Jay, that worked in
LeBron
the playoffs.
LeBron and AD aren't going to give them anything. Austin Reeves has to go take it. Sometimes, okay, I'm with Stephen A. Smith or I'm with Greeny. Great. It's mine right now, Stephen A. Sorry. Right. This is what you have to do. Like, you have to demand that, and that's what the Lakers need in order to go next level.
You're kind of doing it right now, actually. Right?
Really, pretty
you
much,
need,
yeah.
You have,
but,
like, what other choice do they have?
But understand, what you're talking about is the formula that worked for them in the playoffs that got them to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes.
That formula is what worked then. for 82 games, that's asking a lot out of that supporting cast.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not. You want Austin Reaves to accept that responsibility. You watch hoops all the time, Alan. Did you watch him this summer? He was aggressive.
Of course I did.
You felt like it was him and Anthony Edwards' team.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was their team. So the next step is LeBron saying, we need younger legs. There's a reason why Jordan Poole was so important to the Golden State Warriors. He gave them energy. He gave them effort all the time. It was like a young, thriving bunny on the court, right? Like, that's who Austin Reaves needs to be for this team.
We got a lot more on the Lakers as we go along, but I did want to talk about the other game last night, and the story of that game, in part at least, was who didn't play. That, of course, James Harden of the 76ers. The Sixers decided to keep Harden in Philadelphia instead of bringing him to Milwaukee after he'd been away from the team for 10 days. They played a good game. I mean, like, they were, right? I mean, like, they were right in that game. Are they all right if James Harden never plays for them?
They're better. They're better. They play faster. The numbers tell you they play. Don't tell me that, Jay. They're
seems
better.
Skeptical.
Tyrese Maxey, when Harden doesn't play, averages 25 a game, shoots 48%. They play faster. Last night they went at a pace of 104.5. During last season, they were at like 97. Big difference to watch there. They're up and down the floor. Their role players feel involved. There's not a lot of plotting. It's up and down. And this is now for Tyrese Maxey. You talk about like Austin Reaves. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey get paid. This is his time now to say, we don't need that guy. I can do this with Joel Embiid. And Joel Embiid can be happy in Philadelphia with a supporting cast around him of guys who are enthusiastic and energetic and with a new coach in Nick Nurse that likes to play off of players like that. Instead of when James comes in, he might be able to win you some games here and there. But we saw in the playoffs the same thing happening. And by the way, the Sixers don't owe him anything but money. They don't have to play him. They don't have to let him come in. They don't have to ask him to do anything. The only thing they owe him is money. That's it. They should stick with what they have and leave him home.
I'm not counting on Kelly Oubre to drop 25 plus every single night like he did.
Off the bench,
he was prolific, right?
So what do they do here with Harden?
You got to get rid of him.
Oh, okay.
You have to.
But you're just not thinking it's going to help them.
Well, I don't know if it makes them better than what they are. I think it opens up doors for guys like Tyrese Maxey to continue to grow.
They can
I still know if they go further in the Eastern Conference. Like, to me, better means getting deeper in the playoffs.
Their second round, that's what they've been. They've hit that ceiling.
That's, I don't know if they're better than the second round team in the Eastern Conference.
But they're better team.
Even with Harden, you mean?
Well, with Harden, I think they actually have a chance. If Harden were to play the right way, I just don't believe in James Harden's ability to buy in. Like, my thing, though, is about this whole thing. Like, we talk about the timing of this.
Yeah.
So, James Harden, he's not going to be there. Like, you have to get rid of him. It's going to hinder the growth of the team. Okay? I agree. They may be a better team. Doesn't mean they're going to go further. It may be better for their style to play. But if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm saying, okay, look, you guys chose Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons over Jimmy Butler. I love Jimmy Butler. Then I had to deal with Ben Simmons and the lengthy exit of Ben Simmons getting him out of the organization, which hindered our growth as a team.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me for the second time in 3 years, I'm dealing with somebody else that now we need to get rid of. And now so we need to make more moves. And we're not better than Boston. We're not better than Milwaukee. What am I doing here?
It's a better environment, but not a better team, meaning they can go further. That's kind of the point, though, right?
But my thing is, I don't know if you have enough. If this happened last year, I think Joel Embiid gives it another year. But the fact it's happening now, like if you're Joel Embiid, why am I staying here?
Oh, don't start those rumors.
Much more on this as we go. Here's our NBA doubleheader tonight, though, to tip off your weekend. You got the home openers for the Celtics and the Kings. Boston hosts Jimmy Butler in the Heat at 7:30 Eastern, followed by Sacramento hosting Steph and the Warriors. NBA Countdown gets it all started at 7 Eastern. To the NFL, we are now 4 days away from the trade deadline, and all eyes are, as always, on the Dallas Cowboys coming off their bye. They're going to face the Rams this week. Dak Prescott helped lead the Cowboys to a bounce-back win against the Chargers right before the bye. However, owner Jerry Jones is far from satisfied and says he's open to trade offers, sort of. Listen.
I'm by nature active, and I'm by nature a risk taker. So don't come by unless you want struck at. So we will trade. There's no mistake about it, or we will make a deal. And it's certainly got a high bar because I like our team.
Like some people, like they talk and you're like, oh, he talked a lot, but he didn't really say anything. Jerry says literally everything. Like, we'll trade, but also we won't trade. Like, it's nice. He keeps all his bases covered. Let's live in a world where the Cowboys are making trades at the deadline. What is the one call, Brooke Pryor, they need to make right now?
Well, I don't know that they're going to make a call as much as they're going to wait for somebody to walk by, and then Jerry Jones is going to swipe at him under a couch. But if I'm them, I'm taking a swipe at Derrick Henry because the Cowboys need more help in the run game. And I know they love Tony Pollard. We get it. He's their guy. However, Himbo sent me this stat. In 2022, Tony Pollard's yards per carry in the fourth quarter was 6.8. This year, it's 3 yards. That's this guy is gassed. You know what would help? I don't know, another running back, say maybe Derrick Henry?
What do you think, Bart?
Listen, you talk about the physicality that Derrick Henry runs with. Like, he's a guy, as everybody starts to get beat, banged up, battle of attrition, he gets stronger as the season goes. That big body wearing on you is going to be effective when you talk about playoff football. You pack your run game, you pack your defense. I like that. I can't be mad at it.
So that's where you would go? You'd go offense if you were them?
No. In my opinion, no. I thought I was talking about what happens.
What would you do if you're Jerry Jones and somebody made a phone call? What are you looking for in trade?
I'm going Levante David, right? Okay. Because they need somebody at the second level. Because you think about Vander Esch, they struggled. They struggled last year to stop the run. I'm tired of them playing with Michael Parsons. When they need help in the middle, can't stop the run, they put Michael Parsons there. Then teams just run opposite of him, run away from him. You need a leader. You need a captain out there, somebody that's going to have that Raekwon Smith type of effect when you talk about being able to stop the run and being able to man the front seven.
What's your Cowboys move, Mike T?
Yeah, I like Brooke's idea about Derrick Henry, but the one that to me is even better – no, I already overpaid one aging linebacker part. Is Devontae Adams, and here's why. We know how much they're struggling in the red zone, and if you get this guy with C.D. Lamb, it will be a force multiplier because now C.D. Lamb will not be able to dictate coverage all the time to defense. He will take some of the load. Devontae Adams does not want to be in Vegas. We're going on 5 years of when Amari Cooper was traded to Dallas. That was a meaningful impact. I know Graz's situation was a little bit different. What? But this is a team that last year played Philadelphia twice. The net point differential was 3. They are close to Philadelphia, and a guy like Devontae Adams will get them over the hump.
Bart is openly laughing at your point.
No, it's like, no, duh. I mean, like, but it's crazy, though. Like, what is this fantasy football? What did they bring
That's what we're doing.
What did they bring Brandon Cooks in for? I mean, how much help does Dak Prescott need or deserve? You're paying this man $1 billion. Like, you got to go out and get Devontae Adams?
Yeah. Brandon Cooks hasn't done as much as they had hoped.
Whose fault is that? That's Mike McCarthy's fault. Right, we know this guy has 1,000 yards. You can bank it.
Bart, this time of year, you're trying to solve a problem. The problem you can solve with Devontae Adams specifically is where they're struggling, and that's in the red zone.
Well, a lot of money.
Henry solves that problem, too. He takes the pressure off Dak. Yes,
light box.
Him a lot
it
of
opens
money.
It up for Brandon Cooks.
Well, you really love Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks is a 1,000-yard receiver. Listen, this guy has a
now,
body
this
of work.
Is not.
Listen, are you his agent? Because like, he should
man,
be
this
you.
Dude has had 1,000 yards with bum quarterbacks, right? Dak Prescott is supposed to be a franchise quarterback. It's up to Mike McCarthy to figure out how to use Brandon Cooks. It's not a Brandon Cooks problem.
But I look at it more philosophical. I love having Brandon Cooks. And at some point, he will or could be impactful. My point is, if we're running the Cowboys – and we know Tuesday at 4 o'clock is the last meaningful opportunity to improve this team.
Yeah.
And we know that the red zone is a big problem. We have Cooks. We have Lamb. We got Gallup. Let's go get another number one, much the way Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. We have a chance to compete with those elite offenses.
Let's get Mike Adams, too, while we're at me. Mike Evans. While
Mike Evans, just load it all
just
up.
Just load it up.
All the receivers.
Let's see get them all.
You know, trade Tony Pollard. Who needs a running back?
Bring them all on. We'll see what the Cowboys do, if anything, by the trade deadline. With a Cowboys matchup on the horizon in a couple weeks and a trap game in Washington on Sunday, are Jalen Hurts and the Eagles on upset alert? We'll give you the one number you need to know next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back on Get Up. We're going to play a game we call Big Number, Big Question. Jalen Hurts is 9-1 in his last 10 matchups against the NFC East. The one loss came last season at home versus the Commanders. Brooke Pryor, are Hurts and the Eagles on upset alert this week against Washington?
No, because I'm going to give you another big number, and that's 40 sacks. And that's how many sacks Sam Howell has taken. And you know how many sacks the Eagles have this year? 24. That's third best in the NFL. So, Jalen Hurts can't turn the ball over a crazy amount. But right. I'm more concerned about how often Sam Howell is going to be on the ground. And trust me, that hurts to say.
I mean, listen, when you think about Eric Bieniemy, he has to figure out how to match his protections with his quarterback drops. It reminds me of Norv Turner, always having these seven-step drops. You don't have an offensive line that can hold up. I think that their opportunity to beat the Eagles were the first time. They won't catch them by surprise this time. I think this is going to be an ass-kicking.
Yeah, I don't think it's about Eric Bieniemy. I think sacks are a sticky statistic. He was sacked a lot in North Carolina. Sam Howell continues to get sacked a lot.
Yeah, like the Giants had 5 sacks all year going into the game. They got him 6 times on Sunday. So the Eagles, who knows? The Jets have lost 7 straight games following a bye week. That is the third longest such streak since 1990 when the NFL brought byes back. So, Bart, are the New York Jets on upset alert against the New York Giants?
They are on upset alert, but that stat is false. I mean, not a great indication because the Jets have stunk for the last 5 years. So, of course, it didn't matter if it was the bye or if it wasn't the bye, they were losing. But they're on upset alert because Wink Martindale and the Giants have figured something out, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on Zach Wilson with making him make quick decisions. We know he's going to blitz him coming off of the bus. If they don't have a plan for it, then they're going to be negligent.
They are on upset alert because there is a bona fide quarterback controversy with the New York Giants.
Uh-oh.
Tyrod Taylor has simply outplayed Daniel Jones this year. When you watch the film, it shows it. When you look at the stats, it shows it. He has been the better football player. Hard stop.
Wow. It wasn't even a Giants question. Mike T went ahead and hijacked it and talked about the other New York team.
Well, that's why I like it.
No, quarterback controversy. Let's do it. Hey, Mike Tomlin has 15 wins in his career as a home underdog. Pittsburgh's 600 win percentage outright as a home underdog is the best in the league since 2007. So, Mike T, are the Steelers set to upset the Jaguars?
Well, here's a big number. According to my proprietary calculations, they have about a 46.2% chance
use all them college
of winning
words.
This game.
You round up.
And this is actually a great stat from Hembo to illustrate my point. This offense is moribund. It is just not good in a lot of ways. They average 5 plays of 23 yards per drive. That is by far the worst in the league. And you can point to a lot of things. Kenny Pickett's ability to get the ball down the field. But Allen Robinson really has not done much as what was going to be their second receiver.
Brooke, you are, among other things for ESPN, our Steelers reporter. So you're around that team every single day. The home underdog thing, like what is it? Is that a real thing for them?
It is, but here's the thing. Mike Tomlin and his quarterback are so similar because Kenny Pickett loves to go into the fourth quarter, and he comes back and he drives, and he comes alive in the fourth quarter, especially when they're down. He's electric. He has the intangible. Mike Tomlin, to me, has all of those intangibles that he likes to motivate these guys. He likes to come in and say, oh, you think that we can't win? We're going to be tough. We're going to kick your butt. Doesn't matter if it's, beginning of game, end of game, fourth quarter. I think that I'm not going to make a game pick, but I do think that if this game, if we get down to the fourth quarter and it's within a score, look out, because Kenny Pickett against the Rams was 7-for-7 for 138 yards in the fourth.
Junior Whopper hands, like, come on, man. Like, listen, we know the reality of they lucked their way. Only Mike Tomlin can pull this type of stuff off. This offense has been garbage.
4-2.
Yes, this team has been garbage. They can easily be 2-4.
But they're like, not.
If they didn't have a Manchurian candidate in there yesterday and last week, Brett Maher missing 3 field goals, like they would have lost last week. Well, he's a Manchurian candidate because, the Rams played Cowboys this week. Whatever. I digress. But when you talk about, like, this offense is horrible. And you can't depend on T.J. Watt continues to save the day and his defense continues to save the day. Bad Canada is maybe, I'm surprised, did they have their bye week yet?
Yes, they have, but what do you mean you can't depend on T.J. Watt? How much are you paying that man?
Well, T.J., I'm talking about to make game changes.
Well, no, I know. That's what you're paying him for.
He hasn't been healthy. You can't keep relying on turnovers all the time from the defense being your best offense. Eventually, this offense is going to have to carry its weight. Listen, they're playing garbage, man.
Yeah, that's why
I cannot believe they've won this many games.
Right, but that's why this week is interesting to me because Trevor Lawrence and that offense should put up points. So now what you're saying, Bart, and I agree with, which is They're going to have to drive the ball on offense to score consistently. They haven't been able to do so. That's why this is a really interesting matchup.
Let's put the picks up for this game. Brooke said she didn't want to make one. She's going to be covering it. So, all right, well, there you go. Everybody's got the Jaguars.
You guys trying to be a meme here? Is that what's happening? I can't wait to see this screenshotted and tweeted out by the Steelers.
Only Mike Tomlin.
Sunday afternoon at about 4:30.
I love Mike Tomlin. I think he's one of the best in the business. But, man, this is god-awful on offense. I mean, this is ineptitude at its finest. Is that a good college word?
Yeah, it is. By the way, I love Mike Tomlin, but the other side, Doug Peterson, he's won a Super Bowl too.
He's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Jaguars, that's one of the teams we're going to have to
keep an eye on. They're coming alive.
Yeah, no, they're defininely playing as well.
Anything that comes alive, just about anybody. Just one quarter a game.
So, we'll see. Right. You're going to need maybe two one of these weeks. Tomorrow, WBC and lineal heavyweight champ Tyson Fury and former UFC champ Francis Ngannou square off in the ring. I apologize, Francis. It's available on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. The main card can be purchased at ESPNplus.com/top-rank. When we come back, minute management is thrown out the window as the King and KD turn back the clock. Plus, did Dame put the East on notice? Does he look strange in green? A brand new hour of Get Up is next.